Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
You know, I think we've all had to deal with a neighbor at some point who just, really pushes our buttons.
Oh, yeah.
So today we're going to do a deep dive into a story about a neighbor conflict that really kind of got out of hand.
Okay.
And we're going to see if there are any lessons that we can learn.
Interesting.
Our source material is a letter that was sent to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.
I see.
And this one starts off pretty normal, actually. The letter writer says that they're a pretty easygoing person. They even baked cookies to welcome their new upstairs neighbors.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Yeah. But can you imagine, extending that olive branch, a plate of homemade cookies, and having the door slammed in your face?
Oh, God.
After just like a grunt.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a very warm welcome.
No, not at all.
It's interesting how these like initial interactions can really set the tone for everything that comes after.
Right.
Even something as small as like a dismissive reaction to a kind gesture.
Yeah.
You know, psychologists actually call this a negative reciprocity loop. Basically, it means that when one person perceives a slight good mood, they're more likely to respond with negativity, which then, of course, triggers the other person to do the same.
Yeah.
And then it just creates this downward spiral.
So right from the start, things are not good.
Right.
And unfortunately for this letter writer, it doesn't get any better.
Oh, no.
They start experiencing all kinds of annoyances, late night noise, broken glass showing up in their yard, you name it.
Yikes.
But then things get really personal. The neighbor starts tossing their cigarette butts into the letter writer's yard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about just any cigarette butts. We're talking about the letter writer's own cigarette butts that they had already, thrown away properly.
Right. So it's like they're being deliberately provocative.
Right.
It's like they're not interested in just, peaceful coexistence. They're trying to like assert dominance or control.
Yeah. This is where it starts to get a little creepy to me.
Yeah. I can see that.
But wait, there's more. Apparently, the neighbors also completely disregard the trash pickup schedule, leaving their garbage to rot and attract rats.
Ugh, that's awful.
And the letter writer tries to address it politely, but the neighbors just ignore them.
It's so frustrating when that happens.
Yeah.
Because it makes you feel powerless.
Right.
Like you're trying to do the right thing, be a good neighbor, but your actions are just met with complete indifference.
Yeah.
It really challenges our sense of like fairness and justice.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, at what point does being neighborly turn into enabling bad behavior?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
And it's something that a lot of people struggle with. But it's important to remember that being a good neighbor doesn't mean that you have to tolerate abuse or disrespect.
Right.
It's about finding a balance between, being respectful of other people while also asserting your own needs and boundaries.
And speaking of boundaries, the breaking point for this letter writer comes during a snowstorm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They go out of their way to shovel out their own parking space. And as like a gesture of goodwill, they clear their neighbor's space too.
Wow. That's really nice of them.
But get this. The neighbors come back and dump a pile of snow right back onto the cleared path.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's just so rude. It's like a blatant rejection of the letter writer's attempted kindness.
Yeah, it's like saying, we don't want your help and we don't respect your efforts.
Right.
At that point, you can really understand why the letter writer would start to feel angry and resentful.
Absolutely. I think anybody would be fuming at that point.
Totally. And that's where things take a turn toward what the letter writer calls petty revenge.
Okay.
They start documenting every single incident, like really meticulously.
Mm.
And they also start blasting polka music late at night when the upstairs neighbors are being loud.
Oh, wow. Interesting tactic.
I know, right? And one night, the stomping suddenly stops, and the letter writer feels this little moment of satisfaction.
I bet. It's like they're trying to regain a sense of control in a situation where they feel totally powerless.
Right. Like, you might be making my life miserable, but I can still make things uncomfortable for you.
Exactly. Of course, this type of behavior rarely leads to a positive resolution.
Right.
But it is understandable, you know, given the circumstances.
It feels very instinctive. Like, if somebody keeps pushing your buttons, you want to push back.
Right.
Even if it is in a kind of childish way.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in this case, things don't end there.
Oh, no. What happens next? It just keeps escalating. This neighborly conflict turns into this series of really bizarre and unsettling retaliations.
Okay, you have to give us the details. Like, what kind of retaliation are we talking about?
Well, it starts with what I guess you would call, like, classic passive-aggressive moves.
Okay.
So the letter writer's mailbox is mysteriously stuffed with shredded paper. And wait for it, maple syrup?
Maple syrup?
Yeah.
What? Seriously? Yeah.
Seriously.
Wow.
But it doesn't stop there.
Of course not.
The letter writer starts hearing these, like, strange drilling noises.
Oh, no.
Coming from the upstairs apartment late at night. Of course, always when the letter writer's trying to sleep.
Ugh, it's like something out of a psychological thriller or something. Like, you can just feel the tension and anxiety just building with each incident.
Exactly. And this is where it's important to understand the psychological impact of these types of situations.
Right.
You know, imagine constantly feeling like you're on edge, never knowing what the next act of retaliation is going to be.
Yeah.
It can be so draining. And it can have a really serious impact on someone's mental health.
It's not even just about being annoyed anymore. It's
right.
Like, you feel unsafe in your own home.
Exactly. And in this case, that feeling of being targeted is heightened even more when the letter writer finds their backyard gate padlocked from the outside.
Hold on. So they're literally being locked out of their own backyard?
Yes.
Mm.
And to make matters worse, they find this note attached to the gate.
Uh-oh.
That blames them for attracting rats with their, quote, filthy habits.
Wow, that's messed up. It's like the neighbors trying to gaslight them, like make them question their own sanity.
It's a classic manipulation tactic.
Yeah.
And it can be really effective in making the victim doubt themselves and their perceptions of reality.
So at this point, the letter writer has tried to be friendly, has tried to communicate directly, and is now facing what seems like a campaign of harassment. Like, what's the next step?
Well, the letter writer does what a lot of people would do in this situation.
Mm.
They complain to the landlord.
Makes sense. I mean, isn't that what landlords are for? To deal with these kinds of issues?
You would think so.
Yeah.
But in this case, the landlord seems completely indifferent to the complaints.
Oh, no.
Just dismissing them as like a simple neighborly dispute.
That is so frustrating. It's like they're being told to just suck it up and deal with it.
Right. And you can see why the letter writer feels stuck.
Totally.
This lack of support from authority figures can be really demoralizing.
Yeah.
It can make someone feel like they have nowhere to turn. Like, their experiences aren't being taken seriously, aren't being validated.
So with the landlord offering no help and the harassment continuing, what does the letter writer do? Do they just give up?
They try to.
Okay.
They try to just ignore the neighbor and avoid any further interactions.
Right.
But the tension is so thick, it's almost impossible to maintain that distance.
I can imagine. Like, you're living in such close proximity. It's got to be like this constant weight.
Exactly. And yeah. In this case, that tension finally boils over.
Oh, no.
The letter writer is outside one day.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbor's cigarette smoke is drifting directly into their space.
Okay.
And they just snap.
Yeah.
Yelling at the neighbor to be more considerate.
I guess at that point, it's understandable.
Absolutely. Everyone has a breaking point.
Yeah.
But this confrontation has some pretty serious consequences.
Oh, no. What happened?
The neighbor responds with a chilling threat.
What do they say?
Telling the letter writer to watch themselves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not just neighborly bickering anymore. It's a direct threat to their safety.
Exactly. And unfortunately, the threat isn't empty.
Oh, no.
The very next morning, the letter writer discovers that all four tires on their car have been slashed.
Oh my gosh. That is terrifying. It's like something out of a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. And this really highlights the very real danger that can arise from these seemingly mundane conflicts.
Yeah. It's a stark reminder that sometimes these situations can escalate to a point where someone's safety is genuinely at risk.
Exactly. And it raises a really important question.
Which is?
When you're facing this kind of escalating aggression, what can you actually do to protect yourself?
Yeah, that's the question that's been going through my mind this whole time. Like, what do you do when you've tried everything? You've tried to be reasonable, you've tried to set boundaries, you've even tried to get the landlord involved. And the situation just keeps getting worse and worse.
Well, it's a tough reality to face.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the most important step is recognizing when a situation is beyond your control.
Yeah.
And you have to prioritize your own safety and well-being.
So in this case, with this letter writer, I mean, they're facing a direct threat. They have property damage. Like, what are their options?
Well, the first thing is that it's crucial to document every single incident.
Okay.
Meticulously.
Okay.
Dates, times, specific actions, any witnesses, photographs, if possible.
Okay.
This detailed record becomes really important evidence.
Got it.
If you need to take further action.
So it's like creating a paper trail to protect yourself.
Exactly. And in this case, the slashed tires are a clear example of vandalism.
Right.
Which is a crime.
Right.
So the letter writer absolutely did the right thing by reporting this to the police.
It's just crazy to think that something that started with a plate of cookies could end up as a police report.
Yeah.
But it just shows how quickly these situations can spiral.
It does. And it highlights how important it is to know your rights and the legal avenues that are available to you. So depending on, you know, the severity and the frequency of the harassment, the letter writer could look into things like filing for a restraining order or even pursuing legal action through small claims court.
Right.
To try and get, you know, reimbursed for the property damage.
So it's not even about just being a good neighbor at that point.
Right.
It's about taking concrete steps to actually protect yourself.
Absolutely. So. And seeking legal advice is crucial in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
An attorney who specializes in, you know, landlord-tenant disputes or harassment cases can really help assess the situation and advise on the most appropriate course of action.
It sounds like there are more options than you might realize.
There are. But it's also important to be realistic. Legal processes can be time-consuming, stressful, and sometimes expensive. And unfortunately, they don't always guarantee a resolution.
So what happens when you've exhausted all avenues like that and the situation is still unbearable? What do you do?
It's a painful truth, but sometimes the only way to truly reclaim your peace of mind is to remove yourself from the situation.
You mean move?
Yeah. And it's not an easy decision.
Mm.
And it can feel like a defeat. But it's important to remember that your home should be a sanctuary. A place where you feel safe and secure.
Right.
And if that's no longer the case, sometimes the best thing you can do for yourself is to create that safety somewhere else.
Wow. This whole story has been really eye-opening.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder that even in seemingly normal places like our own neighborhoods, we can encounter some really extraordinary challenges.
We can. But it's also a reminder of the resilience of the human spirit.
Yeah.
You know, this letter writer faced relentless harassment.
Yeah.
But they found ways to cope. They sought out help. And ultimately, they made choices to protect themselves.
It's kind of inspiring in a way.
It is. And it reminds us that even when we're facing adversity, we have choices. We can choose to be proactive. We can choose to seek support. And we can choose to prioritize our own peace of mind.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the complex world of neighborly conflict. We hope this conversation has given you some insights and maybe even a sense of empowerment. Remember, you are not alone in these challenges, and there are resources out there to help. Until next time, stay safe, stay informed, and remember, sometimes a plate of cookies is just a plate of cookies.
And that's okay.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.